If it's local and it matters, it's Above the Fold with Steve Stewart on Real Talk 93.3.
Welcome to Above the Fold here on Real Talk 93.3. It's Thursday. I'm Steve Stewart. It's great to be here. Above the Fold is brought to you in part by Epps Decorating Center. If you're a homeowner, you should always be looking for ways to increase the value of your home. But it doesn't always have to be a major project. A fresh coat of paint can transform the interior and exterior of your home in a dramatic way. And I recommend you start with a visit to Epps Decorating Center, Tallahassee's premier Benjamin Moore paint retailer. Whether you need interior or exterior paint, high-end or commercial-grade coatings, Epps Decorating Center is ready to serve you. Give them a call at 385-6649. That's 385-6649. And we appreciate their sponsorship of the Above the Fold. And it's game week, big game, probably one of the bigger games we've had in a couple of years in terms of, hey, FSU, 10-point underdog, but a lot of chatter, Maddie, about them being able to pull off the upset.
There definitely is, and if anybody can, we're on a streak right now, so who knows?
Yeah, you know, I was looking at the stats, averaging between 2 and 250 yards on the ground. The bad news is in Clemson, and Clemson is obviously looking to break out of the doldrums that they're in. But at halftime, they're going to celebrate Bobby Bowden in Clemson. So I think that's cool. There's a lot of ties to the two schools. But look, we're not a sports show. That comes up later. Unfortunately, we got to pivot to what is going on locally, and you're not going to believe it. You know, we're going to talk about reproductive health. I mean, it is suddenly a city of Tallahassee issue. I was thinking about ways to present this. If you haven't heard, you know, the city of Tallahassee took up an issue that is vitally important to the people of this community, and they have such a say in what happens. A resolution related to abortion and reproductive health. And, you know, we finally found something that Mayor John Daley and Jeremy Matlow agree on. And, I mean, I think that might be the biggest story, is it took an outside group pushing a extreme resolution related to abortion to get Mayor John Daley and Commissioner Jerry Matlow on the same page. So I guess there is that. Look, if I didn't talk about this a little tongue-in-cheek, I think I would just be screaming. So I give you a heads up what we're going to do here. We're going to go through the specifics last night of what happened with the 3-2 vote. And, you know, again, if you haven't read, the person that actually brought this whole thing up ended up voting against it. And we'll tell you why. And then just a lot of developments, I think, says a lot about where we are, as a community, where our leadership is. So we sort of want to go through that in the next segment, the specifics. I mean, there's 2 hours of testimony last night, people for and against the resolution. There were comments by, all the commissioners, although there was one elected official that didn't have a lot to say. We'll tell you which one that was. So all kind of little teases here if you stay tuned. And so we'll dig into that. But then in the next segment, I want to tell you what the plan is here. When you find out what happened to the city commission and why and what it entails, this is not about Roe versus Wade. So I'm not going to argue here about, you know, pro-life, pro-choice. This is about more than that, and that's why I think it's so interesting to talk about. This is actually, we're not going to talk about that. We're going to talk about the dynamics of the city commission on an issue they have no authority over and why they're doing it and what they each had to say or didn't say. And then we're going to talk about what is the bigger plan. Why did this show up in the city commission? Well, look, when we tell you how it showed up there, then we're going to look around at other local governments, and we're going to look at things that are showing up there, and you're going to see a trend. And look, if it doesn't get you motivated to get involved or at least start paying more attention, hey, we're just going to keep headed in this direction. And again, I will tell you, this is really not about Republicans and Democrats. It's a lot of this is about common sense. It's not about the broader issues. You know, we live in a progressive community. Most of these commissioners are pro-choice, and I understand that. But when you see what happened last night and why it's more than just a debate over abortion, I think you'll be more informed. Some of you might be shocked. Others may just be, yeah, I figured it was something like that. So anyway, we're going to spend two segments on that, and then we'll have a pretty comprehensive economic update. I want to talk to you about the real estate market, give you a peek into a statistic that we don't track much, days on market. That's how long it takes a home to sell. And we'll go through the sort of the trend of that over the last 2 years. Want to look at the jobs picture. We might have talked a little bit about that last time, but a little more specifics on that. And also some interesting news from the airport. Obviously, the traffic at the airport was hit tremendously, across the world, was hit tremendously hard during the pandemic. So we're looking for little signs of recovery. And we've noticed there's been, obviously, as things start to pick back up, we're trying to get back to that 12-month level that we were at. We're still shy of it. But another little bit of good news from the airport, and we'll touch base on that. And before we get out of here in our opening segment, I wanted to get you up to date on there was a school board meeting on Tuesday night, and the superintendent adjusts the mask rule, which accidentally brought it into compliance with the DeSantis executive order. And that's not the reason why Superintendent Hanna did it. It used to be, I guess it was the district required masks for students who were exposed but asymptomatic if they returned to school during the 7-day quarantine. But now parents can opt out of their child from wearing a mask. It says here that Superintendent Hanna, data and numbers are moving us into compliance, not simply to comply. In other words, we're not doing this because Governor DeSantis told us to. We're doing it because the numbers are telling us. Hanna added that the district will not hesitate to reinstate stricter policies if the situation warrants. The district required masks for students who were exposed but asymptomatic if they wanted to return to school. We talked about that. Now, for teachers, masks will be required indoors, quote, when appropriate. And for some elementary teachers have said they've had trouble communicating. So I guess they may get a do-over on that. Now, if you're a volunteer or a mentor showing up at a campus, you'll be required still to wear a mask indoors. So, you know, if we look around the state, you know, things, this is what's happening. These mask mandates are slowly being repealed. South Florida, I think in Broward County, high schools, I think masks became optional, although they kept them in place in middle school and elementary school. So, you know, I'm not, again, it's a hodgepodge of policies. And so as the COVID Delta surge continues to retreat, you know, we'll see this across the state. And, you know, the Florida Hospital Association, which was tracking hospitalizations, came out this week and said that the Delta variant surge of COVID is basically done for now here in Florida. And so, you know, from that standpoint, it's like policy catching up to where we are on the ground. Obviously, it's not going to catch up immediately. And there'll be, you know, more decisions that will have to be made. I got a feeling that this is really over the next 2 months during the holiday season. I think by January, we probably will be back to normal here in the schools, but we'll keep an eye on that. All right. I've tried to keep you interested in reproductive health. I hope I did with the teaser there. When we get back, we'll talk about exactly what happened last night, who voted, who didn't, who spoke, who didn't, what they say, and more importantly, why. So stay tuned. You're listening to Above the Fold. I'm Steve Stewart.
If it's local and it matters, it's Above the Fold with Steve Stewart on Real Talk 93.3.
All right, welcome back to Above the Fold here on Real Talk 93.3. Thanks for joining me. I think this will be a very informative next two segments, so please stay tuned and listen in. Last night, the City Commission voted 3-2 to move forward with an abortion resolution. And abortion's in the title, so I'm not being partisan there. They do add it's about reproductive health. But anyway, it's an issue that was brought to the City Commission a couple of weeks ago by a statewide group, Florida Now, National Organization for Women, who are trying to drum up support from local governments throughout the state who have no authority over abortion or no legal, there's no legalities. They have no regulation responsibilities, but they're trying to divide our communities by getting local governments to take a position on this. For example, Coral Springs down in South Florida was a 3-2 vote, same issue. And this is, they say this comes from the decision from the state legislature in Texas. Not sure how local government's weighing in is going to have an impact. But anyway, Florida Now brought this to the Tallahassee City Commission. Ironically, Curtis Richardson brought it up, and it was put on the agenda that was taken down, and it was back on the agenda last night. And Curtis Richardson ended up voting against what he brought up. Him and Diane Williams-Cox were the two that voted against the resolution. The three that voted for it were Jeremy Matlow, Jack Porter, and Mayor John Daley. Now, first of all, and we'll talk about this later, this is more about than just supporting Roe versus Wade. We all understand that all the elected officials in Leon County are, they're nonpartisan seats, but they're all Democrats, and they probably are all pro-choice, and they support Roe versus Wade. That's a given. There's more to do in this resolution than meets the eye, and we've discussed that. We've had Mayor Daley on here, and we've talked about it routinely over the last couple of weeks. But what was interesting as this unfolded was, we went through, some debate behind the scenes. There were 2 hours of testimony at the meeting from both sides. I think it was a little bit more in favor of not going forward with the resolution. But again, the community is, 65-70% Democrat. So you would argue that our community would be, supportive of Roe versus Wade. But I don't know that they'd be supportive of the city commission taking a position. And that's where we get into this. So Jeremy Matlow made the motion to pass the resolution. Jack Porter seconded that motion. Jeremy Matlow basically talked about 10 other locations or 10 other local governments supporting this. Jack Porter talked about how tough of a decision was, but she ultimately believes that it's the right of a woman to make the decision about abortion. And as we will talk about later, this resolution is more than that. She didn't seem to want to acknowledge that. No one really wanted to acknowledge that. And we'll talk about that. Then Diane Williams-Cox spoke, and she hit it out of the park from a perspective of, saying, listen, I support Roe versus Wade, but this is a state legislative issue. We are way out of our lane here. It has become convoluted, and I'm not going to support it. Curtis Richardson followed her. Again, talked about his support of Roe versus Wade, but did not feel the need to echo that support from the dais of the Tallahassee City Commission on an issue that they had no authority over. So he also decided to vote against it. So there it is, 2-2, and it comes up to Mayor John Daley, who has been, I think, very disingenuous in how he has addressed this issue in the media. He has been on a couple of radio shows. He sort of indicated that it's something that he believed it shouldn't be, the city had no authority over. The maker of the resolution, or the one that brought the resolution up and then thought about it, City Commissioner Curtis Richardson, who is actually the dean of the city commission, I think gave the mayor cover to do. He gave the mayor options to do what I think was in his heart. And look, the mayor did what was in his heart. He voted for this resolution because he, in his heart, is a progressive left on social issues. And, for those that thought they were getting someone who might be moderate on these issues, they're mistaken. And I'm not as surprised by that as some, but I tell you where I am surprised and disappointed is that I remember Mayor Daley running for mayor telling everybody how he was going to unite this community. And look, if you think that Mayor John Daley has made decisions on these social issues to unite this community, you are a frequent customer of a True Leave dispensary. He has made extreme positions known on a number of issues, which I'm not going to run through here. I've done it before. And so this is what we have. I think even more disappointing was you run for leadership mayor, you get twice the money that a city commissioner gets. And here is an issue where it's 2-2 when you're getting ready to cast a deciding vote and you have nothing of any weight to say whatsoever. That wasn't a leadership mayor vote. That was, I don't know what that was. So, you know, as you can tell, I think that this issue was not a Republican-Democrat issue. As you can see, Curtis Richardson and Diane Williams-Cox voted against it. This was an issue that could have been used to not punch a portion of this community in the face. You can support Roe versus Wade and still not make it uncomfortable or to provide no hope for those who are on the other side of this issue. But there's more, because as I said, this resolution was not just about Roe versus Wade. In this resolution, there was language that was critical of the state's law that requires a minor to get consent of a parent before an abortion. Now, there is a judicial bypass for exceptions, but that's a law that is in place in Florida. It's not like that in New York or in California, where you don't have to have a 13-year-old can get an abortion without parental consent or notification of those states. Florida's different that way. So this resolution, I think, is saying let's be more like New York and California. So my question is, where now that we want to talk about reproductive health care, we want to talk about abortion, the city commissioners that voted for this do, what is your position on that? So we have asked them, and I submitted the questions last night. So we asked them, you know, do you support parental notification? Another part of the resolution was against state funding for pro-life pregnancy centers that help with adoption services, that give an opportunity for people that are pregnant and scared that might not want to get an abortion, fund these pregnancy centers that also provide mental health services that people do get an abortion and then regret it. So this resolution says that's not a good idea. We don't want state funding of these pro-life pregnancy centers. So now, all right, which of you three, Porter, Matlow, or Daly, are you against funding pro-life pregnancy centers but supportive of government funding of abortion providers? So you want to talk about it, let's get you on the record. Okay, and the last question we asked was about adoption. Adoption was never mentioned during this debate. So we asked the question of the three, is adoption an alternative to abortion? Because, like I said, this is not just about Roe versus Wade. This is about the specifics. And it's easy to be pro-life, pro-choice. That fits on a bumper sticker, okay? But when elected officials that we pay to get up and lead us don't have the courage to get into the weeds and talk about this, they're doing a disservice to us and the city of Tallahassee. So we're left with these three commissioners who made this decision. We're left with a leadership mayor who didn't lead. And we're left with wondering where they stand on these. Because I think this, where you stand on those other three issues, you can be for support of Roe versus Wade and have a different position on the three issues that I just talked about. Those are the specifics. We're going to find out if any of them will answer, because now they've weighed into this. And it'll be interesting to hear their responses. Hopefully they'll step up and answer the questions. Now, when we get back, you know, this resolution was about more than Roe versus Wade, and this move to get local governments to weigh in on things like this, there's more to it than just this issue. And that's what we're going to talk about next. So stay tuned. I'm Steve Stewart. You're listening to Above the Fold.
If it's local and it matters, it's Above the Fold with Steve Stewart on Real Talk 93.3.
All right, welcome back to Above the Fold here on Real Talk 93.3. It's a Thursday. Rained like the Dickens this morning. It's supposed to be cool tomorrow. I imagine it'll be cool up in Clemson. 3:30 start. I love that start for a football game. If I lose, I got time to recover before I go to sleep. And if I win, I can calm down a little bit, Maddie. You know?
I know what you mean.
3:30 is a good time.
I don't really know about that usage of the word if.
Well, I mean, overall, I don't.
I know what you're thinking.
But let me tell you what. There's no one more excited. I've had more calls this week. It's great to hear the excitement in FSU football fans. I got a call from a friend who works with FSU sports, and he's like, this could be the year, you know. So anyway, it's great to hear the excitement. All right, back to the reproductive health section of the show here. So listen, we just talked about what happened at the city commission, and you know, you got to be asking yourself, why is this happening? Why did they do this? And we talked about Florida now, you know, bringing this this item before the city commission. And this is part of a larger plan or a larger, and this is happening, I think, on both sides of the aisle. But here we live in a, you know, a majority Democrat community. So we get to see these other groups having this impact. But it's happening in all different types of government. I mean, you see, we saw with HB1, which I totally disagree with, DeSantis's bill on the anti-riot bill. The city was against it, but instead of just filing a lawsuit, because I mean they actually do have some jurisdiction on this, they went out and got these national groups, which are extreme groups, extreme left-wing groups supported by people like George Soros and Mark Zuckerberg, to pay their way. And so again, the city of Tallahassee is being used as a municipality to sort of, you know, put forward these extreme groups. And look at this, it didn't take 3 hours for the decision by the city commission on this abortion resolution to make state news. Representative Anna Escamnia, she's recognized as a possible gubernatorial candidate. I think she endorsed Jack Porter for city commission. She's a progressive, and she took to Twitter right after the vote, you know, and the city of Tallahassee just passed a resolution supporting reproductive justice and opposing political efforts to strip bodily autonomy away from the residents. Thank you, Jeremy Matlow, vote Jack Porter, John Daly, for your support, leadership on this. Onward. So see, this is the reason why they're doing it. This gives these three credence statewide. I mean, John Daly just got mentioned in a tweet by somebody who probably has, you know, has got to have, oh my gosh, he's got 50 times as many Twitter followers as the mayor of the city of Tallahassee. So this is why it's happening. So don't be mistaken on that. Now, as you notice, the good representative Escamnia didn't talk about the specifics of the resolution either. This is, as I said, about more than just Roe versus Wade. And then you look across the landscape here in Leon County, we move over to the school board, where school board members have been quiet about the gender issues that we have raised at Tallahassee Reports. And these are issues that they're not really issues. They're facts. They have not addressed them. From the emails at Montford telling teachers that they don't have to share with parents things that their students say to them because students have a right to privacy. And in that issue there, we found out that Equality Florida, another outside group, had emails just forwarded to teachers giving them advice on how to deal with these gender/LGBT issues. Now, when that was brought to light, you know, we were told, the Superintendent Hannah told everybody, listen, we're not going to forward these emails anymore. But you hear nothing about this discussed at the school board meetings by the school board members who were elected to represent us. And then we have this federal lawsuit at Deer Lake Middle School where officials with Leon County Schools basically said, yes, we have the right to do a gender transition plan without telling you. And there's law that supports that. Now, these parents who didn't go quietly into the night withdrew their daughter from school and wanted there to be a change in policy. Now, Superintendent Hannah has said, yeah, he disagrees with that policy. Nothing's happened. So now a federal lawsuit is filed. So Leon County is becoming, you know, just like a lot of these other progressive communities, outside groups are coming in And they are taking these issues, not one, not two, but three steps further. And what do I mean by that? Just as I said with this resolution, this wasn't a resolution supporting Roe versus Wade. This was a resolution saying, look, if you're 13 years old, you should have a right to get an abortion without talking to your parents. Right? And we don't want the state funding anybody that has a pro-life perspective and is maybe interested in helping someone that's having a tough decision because they're pregnant. That's more than supporting Roe versus Wade. Just as if you go onto the Leon County School Board, we're talking about, oh, well, you know, we've got to have anti-bullying for people who are being faced with gender issues. No problem whatsoever. But that's not what this is about. This is about making every teacher a mental health expert. It's making every classroom an advocate for mental health issues that parents have the right to deal with. So you see, this isn't, you know, I'm not arguing pro-life, pro-choice. I'm not arguing, you know, one side of the gender issue. What I'm arguing is the degree to which our community is slipping into the specifics of these national and outside groups that are extreme. Now, look, I don't know. It'd be interesting to know how many people that support Roe versus Wade but agree that there should be a parental notification law. I would love to know that. Because I do think that's an extreme position. Now listen, that law comes with a judicial bypass in the sense that if you are in a violent situation or a situation that a judge deems that you can make the decision on your own, that is there. But to just say under all conditions, someone under 18 has a right to get an abortion without the involvement of the parents, to me, that's extreme. To say that you have the right to put a gender transition plan in for a student without telling the parents is beyond tolerance on issues related to gender. But this is the plan, and this is what's happening right here before your eyes in Leon County. And as you saw Mayor Daley last night not say a word about the specifics of this resolution, you have got just as the lack of leadership on the school board in relation to these other groups that are talking about these gender issues. So, you know, the point is this. Are we just going to let this happen without any kind of discussion? Now, you know, one of the things on the school board that I think has complicated this is that it's been this constant debate over mask, which is, you know, you could argue is another outside group coming in and impacting our school system. And you could argue that it actually is, you know, either the state of Florida or the federal government. But I think that has really taken, you know, it's sucked up a lot of the oxygen, and nobody on the school board wants to deal with the gender issues and the policies in the schools that they know are there. And they know they're there because I've talked to these people. I've seen the emails. I mean, Superintendent Hannah has gone on the record and said these are issues, but they're not addressing them. And so where there's a vacuum, there are these national groups coming in and imposing their will. And until somebody, you know, look, the model is there. It's Dr. Erwin Jackson. It takes a lot of work. Every 2 weeks, 3 minutes, for years. But you have to be engaged. Now, you know, we're here trying to help provide you the information that you need to deal with this. I think this is breaking news in terms of the things that are going on in our local government without people acknowledging it. Now, what we're going to try to do is, like I said, we have sent these questions to our city commissioners, and we're going to get some answers to the specifics of this resolution and why they think what their position is on this, because this is more than just supporting Roe versus Wade. And a lot going on out there, and it's not, you know, it's frustrating when you elect leaders to deal with this, and You don't get the discussion that you think you're due, especially with someone that's in a position that is titled leadership. It's got leadership in the title. All right, when we get back, we'll pivot to the local economy. and look at real estate jobs in the airport. Got some interesting news from the airport to share with you, so stay tuned. I'm Steve Stewart. You're listening to Above the Fold.
If it's local and it matters, it's Above the Fold with Steve Stewart on Real Talk 93.3. I'm standing on the
corner at midnight. Hi, welcome back to Above the Fold here on Real Talk at 93.3. Trying to get my courage up. Maddie, how will you watch the game? Do you like plan your day around it, or you just sort of like stumble in on it? How do you do it?
You know, I don't have cable, so I'll either try and find somewhere that shows it, like in a restaurant, or I'll just use the app that I have on my phone. It doesn't show the programming, but you can still see the scores and everything else.
Yeah, exactly. Sometimes I get relegated to doing that also. But, so 3:30, like I said, is a good time. And so, you know, I'll start getting ready, around 2 o'clock, you know, and getting nervous.
This is going to be an exciting game, too. I think there's a lot of anticipation in it, and I think we're going to do really well.
All right, we'll see.
Fingers
we'll talk.
Crossed.
Hey, we'll break it down on Tuesday, okay? Mm-hmm. All right, pivoting away from reproductive health for a little while, we'll talk about the economy. All right, so real estate. Look, you know, if you've been following the national news, you know, and looking at the national economy here locally, you start thinking, you know, you've seen the gas prices go up. I think I paid $3.29 last time I filled up, something like that. So obviously things are trickling down and you're starting to feel it in the local economy. House prices, which we follow, you know, the average sales price has been increasing over the last year and a half at a pretty good clip. But we'll have a story that we'll post later this week. Looks like that it might be peaking the pricing. Now, also, if you look at the number of homes sold in September is, I think, flat compared to last September. Still a good number, don't get me wrong, but it just doesn't, you know, there's no growth. Now, is that, we're coming into the time of year where, you know, the growth slows down, but if it's going to be equal to what it was last year, then, you know, we're still going to finish the year double digits up on transactions, and obviously prices will be up double digits also from last year. But it's feeling like we're starting to see sort of a peak here. Now, one of the stats we started following was the days on market, which basically is a number that tells you how long each month homes that are sold that month were on the market. And, you know, it's an interesting number to look at because obviously when things are moving faster, prices go up. And, you know, 3 years ago in September, the homes that sold there were on the market an average of 82 days. Okay. And 2 years ago, that was 60 days. So that's down by a quarter in 1 year. Last year, it was 50 days. So still down a little bit over probably 15%. And then this September, it was like 22 days. Now, I'm sorry, in August, it was 22. In September, it's around 30 days. So it's gone from 3 years ago, a home sitting on the market for 82 days, now to 30 days. So that is going to be an interesting number to watch too as we move, because you would think that if it's going to slow down, you would think that number would flatten out and start to increase again. But for the last 3 years, it's been trending down and obviously significantly from 80 to around 30 days. So, you know, that means if you think about that, if you think, for every house that's on the market 60 days, well, there's a house that sells in a day. So every house that's on the market for 45 days, there's a house that sells for 15 days. So it is very quick turnaround, and that's why the prices are headed up. So we'll keep an eye on that. Now, jobs, and I'm not sure if I mentioned this on Tuesday, but I heard, someone talk about how they characterize jobs, is that if we haven't surpassed the 2019 level, it's still a job recovery. If we, once we do pass that, then it's job growth. And using that nomenclature, we're still in the job recovery mode here in Leon County, and not by much, just a couple hundred jobs short of the 2019 number. You know, comparing comparing jobs to 2020 doesn't really tell you much because it just was such a big drop. But if you go back and look 2 years ago, you get an idea of where we are. And we're just below, in September, we're just below, from an employment standpoint, the number of people working. Now, the unemployment rate in September is about 4%. I think 2 years ago, it was like 2.9%. So from that regard, we still, you know, we've seen a growth in our labor force, which has driven up the unemployment rate. So we're still in the job recovery mode. Now, if we move to the airport, you know, as we've talked about before, you know, the pandemic, it hit tourism in a really big way. And obviously that air travel was hit hard. And we were just starting, if you look at the way we, you know, track the airport traffic at Tallahassee International Airport every month, you can look at this chart and it's, you know, we have just bottomed out in February and started, you know, started the climb back out, back up to the annual rate of around 900,000 passengers. So we're at, I think now, up around 550,000. And, you know, the way we look at the traffic, we also break it up by the carrier groups. And we started including the 3 months. We look at, for example, 2021, 2020, and 2019. And the good news I wanted to bring to you is that American Airlines has basically recovered the traffic number that they had in September of 2019. They are growing now. They have recovered and are growing. They have exceeded the traffic they had in September of 2019. Now, we're still below the 2019 number overall, but so we're still in a recovery mode there, but we're getting very close. So I think, again, I like that nomenclature in terms of recovery versus growth, and it's a good way to sort of quickly understand where we are relative to the last couple of years. All right, on some other odds and ends on the economic side of things, you know, we have our newspaper, Tallahassee Reports, coming out this week, and on the front page is a picture of the REI building, which is going up rather quickly over in the Market Square Shopping Center. If you haven't been by there, it seems to be moving very quickly. There are a number of things. You've got the brand new hotel that was built and is open. Then you've got the REI, which has got the walls and may have the roof on. Then next to that, it looks like they are prepping. I think there's supposed to be a movie theater there. And then next to that, right next to Gilchrist, is the storage. I think it's like the 4 or 5 story storage building that is going to be going up there. So there is a lot of development right there on that, you know, in the Market Square area. And then obviously, if you have been traveling I-10 west at all or east at all, you've seen the Amazon project, which it's interesting to read some people talk about how fast that is going. And, you know, they will be looking to hire people next year. And again, they're looking at between, as we talked with Mayor John Daly on Tuesday, I think anywhere between 1,000 to 1,500 people. It will be interesting to see how that goes. And, you know, what kind of problems they have, if any, in hiring people, because these are going to be $15, $17 an hour jobs at the bottom end. There's going to be management jobs. And also looking at that impact on the rest of the job market, because obviously I was also in a Publix on Thomasville Road, Matty Rowe, and they've got 10 self-checkout, kiosks installed, and they were training people on how to use them. And so, you know, that's almost like they're getting ready for having a problem with trying to keep people hired. And so, look, these people that make money for a living selling good products, they figure out how to do this. And I didn't, you know, I had heard talk of Publix moving in that direction down south, but it looks like that's something that will be coming here rather quickly. I think it was 7 or 8 checkout lanes in the Thomasville Publix that they had put in place. And this is all in response to the labor market and the changes that we're seeing over the last couple of years. and these changes will continue to be, I think, seen in the way we conduct business, be it fast food restaurants, grocery shopping, retail. So anyway, all right, thanks for tuning in. I hope you're more informed and invigorated. And I know you're waiting patiently for the football game on Saturday. So I wish luck, good luck to everybody who's interested in that game. And we'll be back on Tuesday. So have a great weekend.
Gonna be a bride.